Moncrief on News Talk.
Last year, a chap called Brent Dimitrik seemed to correctly predict the location of an earthquake in California. Was this a stopped clock being right twice a day, or has Brent made a huge scientific breakthrough? We're joined by Eleanor Dunn from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. Afternoon, Eleanor.
Oh.
So you were hugely impressed with Brent, I assume, and he's going to win the Nobel Prize for something?
Well, we tend to, as seismologists, we tend to steer clear from saying that you can predict earthquakes at all.
Yeah, okay. As far as you know about Brent, like, is he using any form of science to predict these things, or is it more like the force and he feels them?
So there are a lot of people like Brent out there that like to say they can predict earthquakes, but from what we can tell, they never produce any sort of scientific basis for their predictions. They're unable to say the exact date, the exact time, the magnitude, the exact location. They might give a broad idea, but it's never exact enough for anyone to make any useful steps in prevention or helping people evacuate or anything like that.
And in the case of Brent, anyway, he said there's going to be an earthquake in a place where there's loads of earthquakes. So
yes,
wow,
exactly. Not too shocking for predicting an earthquake where there's going to be loads. You're going to be right at some point.
Why can't seismologists predict earthquakes? Where is it going wrong for them?
It's just hugely difficult to predict how tectonic plates, which are the reason behind earthquakes, how they're going to move. Because, for instance, the San Andreas Fault, there are two tectonic plates that are pushing against each other. And at one point in time, they're going to slip. And that's when they produce loads of energy, which produces an earthquake. But it's impossible to predict when that slip is going to happen and how much energy is going to be released. We just don't have the tools for that. So what we can do is something called earthquake forecasting, which is where you can produce a probability based on previous earthquakes, based on how many earthquakes are happening in a given period, and say, okay, there is a likelihood that we might get an earthquake in this region during the next 5 years or something. But again, seismologists would never say that that is definite and that is only a likelihood. So they can say, OK, there have been loads and loads of earthquakes of this certain magnitude. You know, maybe there is going to be a big earthquake. But again, there's still no way of being 100% right.
Yeah. And that's really just based on past experience rather than anything else. I mean, if you were able to kind of shrink yourself and go down into the earth and observe the movement of these tectonic plates, I know obviously that's impossible, but would it be possible then to come to a better understanding of what's moving them and why they move in certain ways?
So I think if we were able to have a very clear picture of what's going on beneath us and actually be able to drill down so deep into the earth that you could see exactly what the mantle was doing, exactly what the crust was doing. Again, yeah, that would be very difficult and very, very hot. So we definitely don't have the tools to do that yet. But it would probably give us a better idea of exactly what's going on beneath us, because at the moment, all we can really use are rocks which have been erupted from volcanoes, which tells us a bit about kind of what the material is, and then seismology, which tells us a lot about what different things are made of, how tectonic plates are moving about and things like that. But it's still not the perfect picture that you might want.
Yeah. So it'll probably always remain something of a mystery, I imagine, because it's so far down and there's no way of getting access to that part of our planet.
Yeah, so this is a huge area in seismology. There are so many people doing different research projects on earthquake forecasting, and every year papers come out of people. So for instance, last year there was a paper by a group in Zurich, and they used a huge amount of data from earthquakes all over Europe to come up with this model that could potentially look at how big an earthquake might be following a major earthquake, so something called aftershocks, which are the smaller kind of events which follow a huge, massive earthquake. And they, you know, they, a lot of people find some level of success, but you would need a huge amount of data. So you would, you know, the best data would be every single earthquake that's happened that we've ever recorded to see, understand exactly when they happen, where they happen, to get a clear picture. But basically, the more data you have, the better you get to kind of getting a clearer picture.
Yeah. So we know there are lots of earthquakes tend to be in certain areas and there's a vague pattern to them. But even as I understand it, that's kind of like there might be an earthquake there next year, 5 years, 10,000 years.
Yes.
Kind of.
So people like to say, okay, for instance, Yellowstone, it last erupted about 70,000 years ago. So Yellowstone is a volcano in the US. And a lot of the time people say, oh, it's overdue for an eruption.
Mm.
And the reason they say that is because they look at when it's erupted in the past and they work out when it should erupt in the future. But there's no way, volcanoes and earthquakes don't work on a timeline. So they can never be overdue for an earthquake or overdue for an eruption. There's just a likelihood that it might happen within a set amount of years. But for instance, if someone says, oh, an earthquake of this size happens roughly once every 200 years, that doesn't mean that every 200 years on the clock it's going to happen. It could mean that it happens twice within 200 years and then doesn't happen for the next 400 years. So there's no way of pinpointing it, basically.
Going back to the San Andreas Fault, though, is it an absolute 100% certainty that at some point there will be a massive earthquake and half of California is going to fall into the sea?
So, based on kind of just geophysics and what we know, what they like to call the big one, which is a huge earthquake that is meant to cause a huge amount of damage, it's unlikely that it will cause kind of the entire area to drop off into the sea, but it will cause a lot of damage. And that is something that a lot of research is being put into because of the huge population density in that area. But yeah, it's, again, not possible to say when it's going to happen. Mm. And of course, they can say again, oh, it happens roughly this amount of years. But that doesn't mean, it could mean that we're not going to get a big one for 500 years. And then perhaps we get three big ones within the space of five years.
Sure, like buses.
Yes.
But when we say big one, this would be probably bigger than anyone's lifetime or going
yes,
back.
Yes, it's kind of a once in a generation sort of event. So it would cause a lot of damage. And I mean, the areas around there are quite well equipped. They have a lot of good building infrastructure now, which means they are able to be prepared for these earthquakes, but it would cause a lot of damage. It would cost a lot of money and unfortunately quite a lot of lives as well.
In Europe, might there be any big ones? And if so, where?
So the seismicity in Europe is definitely, it's still there. We still get quite a lot. I mean, for instance, earlier this year, there was a lot of earthquakes, smaller earthquakes that were happening around the Santorini area. And again, that was a case where people said, oh, perhaps it's gearing up for quite a big event, but then it just kind of faded away and there was no big earthquake. And, you know, the government was on high alert. They put out kind of a warning to residents. The tourism dropped off because they were having all of these small earthquakes. And again, people thought, oh, OK, this suggests that they are leading up to a big earthquake. But nothing actually happened. So, again, it's something which could be, you know, could be end up being nothing. But that is an area where we do get a lot of seismicity. Italy as well, because of the volcanoes they have there, they get a lot of seismicity. But I don't think, not on the scale, I don't think, of San Francisco and along the San Andreas Fault.
Okay, all right. But I'm really only asking this question is, how will this affect us? Is there a part of Europe where sooner or later there's going to be a big one and, you know, we might suffer?
I would say potentially the ways that we might suffer might be more related to volcanic eruptions, because, for instance, a big volcanic eruption in Europe that did cause a huge impact was the 2010 eruption in Iceland, which disrupted loads and loads of flights.
Yeah, and what was the name of that volcano again? Remind me. the unpronounceable
like
one in Iceland. Yeah.
That disrupted millions of people. So, again, something like that could definitely bring Europe to a standstill and could impact people that live thousands of kilometres away from it based on just the ash cloud that is produced. So something like that might be more like Europe's big one, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. Eleanor, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Eleanor Dunn there from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.